Okay. Prague Collective is a shop in New York that sells nothing but Czech furniture, lighting, and decorative objects from the pre-war avant-garde and mid-century social realism periods. The store, located in the Dumbo district of Brooklyn, has been running for nearly 3 years and sells mostly original restored pieces at prices that might startle your average Czech babička, as well as some replicas which it has made in the Czech Republic. Let's meet Prague Collective's co-owner, Martin Quillen.
I lived for years in the Czech Republic, starting in 1990, and I collected quite avidly just for myself. And as the years passed and I had this collection, which eventually grew larger than my own space could accommodate, and I started storing things and all the while moving, a friend of mine, Giovanni Negrizin, who's an Italian architect in Prague, came up with the idea and said, you know, he also collected and was living there at the same time as I was living in České Budějovice. And he said, you know, we both love collecting, and you're moving back to New York. At the time, I was living in Poland. This was 7 years ago. He said, you should give some thought to showing what you've collected, and maybe there's even a way we could do this as a business to actually showcase Czech design, because it seems that we both agree that designs are beautiful, but in North America, and certainly in New York, no one is really, or very few people are aware of the genius of Czech design, and that's how it started. So it was really my friend, and who became subsequently my business partner in this venture.
What brought you in 1990 to České Budějovice?
Well, it was a fabulous experiment in living for me, and it was just such a success for me personally. I graduated from Princeton University. I was a history major, and in my last year, the 1989-1990 school year, of course, all these exciting events, the Velvet Revolution, the changes in Hungary, Poland, all these really unprecedented events occurred. It was during that winter of my last year, what was November, December, 89-90, I started thinking that I would love to be there, that is, in the Czech Republic, looking at it from my vantage point in the U.S. So I applied for a teaching job with the Ministry of Education, and I was put in, rather by their choice, in the city of České Budějovice.
New York is full of design. Is it hard to make a splash in a city where there's so many things going on in the area of design? And also, what kind of reaction have you had?
Well, I think that's always a challenge when you're in a city that has so much going on in design. There's so many different voices and so much noise, as it were. But that's actually, I think, what has made this this concept and what we're doing here take and be and be. I think is the success. Some of it is due to the fact that no one's done this before. So, in the midst of all this design energy and expressions of design and this great market for design, this Czech design is something that's new for American people, and so it's something refreshing. And actually, there's very much something to it. It's not something that is heavily PR oriented. It's actually an authentic movement, a real phenomena, with a real need to show its face to the world. So we're finding that people have been very receptive: architects, designers, decorators, anyone interested in design for that matter. And I think it's because it's something new and they haven't heard about it. And on the merits of the designs themselves, there's something that is just fabulous, and the workmanship is always extraordinary. So Czechs know how to make things, and Americans now have an opportunity to appreciate that.
Broadly speaking, what do you think is the appeal of Czech design?
I think there are a few qualities that are appealing about Czech design. First is, I think the Czechs, no matter what generation you look at, whether it's going back to turn of the century designs and secessionist era designs, or the designs of the avant-garde in the 1920s and 30s, or designs in the 1950s, and we focus on designs of all three of those areas, and even designs today, Czech designs, there's a continuity in these qualities, which is Czechs, I think, know how to make things. They make things very well, and they have a great sense of economy of materials. So when Americans, whether they're very sophisticated consumers like an architect or a designer, or just someone who happens upon our space and sees a design, lets their eyes fall on a chair, on a table, on a piece of lighting, certain things are immediately apparent. There's an elegance, a simplicity, a certain economy in materials and design that is manifest as something elegant and something clean with its lines. But also something else which I could stress is things aren't terribly functionalist and purely pragmatic. There's always a little bit of play, a little bit of whimsy, and a kind of a playfulness in the designs that also speak to people here. And finally, the Czech designs, and I wasn't really aware of this until I started getting more involved and actually learning about what clients like here and what their needs are here in New York and L.A. and North America. But the Czech designs, they're sizing. They tend to be more diminutive. And so people find that these work very well for apartments, particularly in New York City, where apartments tend to be smaller.
I presume you must be a real expert now on Czech design of the 20th century. Are there any particular pieces or any particular designers who really appeal to you?
I would say yes. I should say that we try to focus on anonymous designs, on everyday designs that were built in pretty substantial quantities, whether we're talking about the 1930s or designs from the late 1950s and 60s. So I will say we try to focus on anonymous designs, but of course there are certain names that stand out and that we really respond to, and our clients, when we find these pieces and bring them here and restore them, our clients love them also. And I personally have a great love for Jindřich Halabala. The Upe Závody designs are stunning, and his designs in particular, and I understand that most of the designs from that company, I mean, he was there for so many years before the war and after the war in the 50s, that he really left a great legacy in Czech design. I think many designs also in his generation responded to what his work was. So we love finding Jindřich Halabala chairs, for example, the great bent wood, larger-than-life armchairs are fabulous. Even his tubular steel tables with very simple, plain surfaces and tubular steel bodies. So Jindřich Halabala certainly is someone who sticks out. There's a great interest in Cubist design, and I, have, of course, am fascinated by it, although we don't have any commercial activity there. They're extremely expensive. But if we think about Jana Pavlak and his Cubist chair, the simple chair that Modernista, I know, in Prague is reproducing, and we also buy from them and sell to people here, those are spectacular and stunning and original. So Cubist designs and also Vladislav Hoffman from that generation are important for me personally, and we have books here showing those designs, which people delight in looking through. And more practically speaking, what we sell, I'd say Halabala.
Where do you find this stuff? Where do you get it?
We really get it any way we can, but typically we find it directly from people, from their homes. So there's a great deal of effort that goes into advertising and meeting and going to people's homes. And, of course, a lot of times we don't find anything when we make those attempts. But ultimately, if you knock on enough doors, you know, if you meet with enough people who have an interest in selling to you, you do find things. Also, we buy from small shops, not just in Prague, but all over the country. So the antique trade, people's homes, auction as well, and more, just because Czechs are, I think, have such savvy with using technology in a sensible way, we find that these days, just in the last year, we've been doing more online. So we're becoming aware of opportunities to buy things online, which, of course, would never have been possible a few years ago, and is making our life easier.
And that was Barton Quillen of the Prague Collective Shop in New York, talking to Ian Willoughby in this week's edition of The Arts. And that takes us to the end of today's programme here on Radio Prague. From myself, Dominic Yoon, and all of us here at the station, goodbye.